You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, hello, men. Welcome back to the podcast. Pastor John here, and we've got something special in store today. And instead of just hearing me kind of ramble on about today's topic, I'm joined by two men who I respect deeply, and I think they're going to help bring a lot of wisdom to this conversation. Now, one of these guys is a lay pastor at the church where I'm a staff pastor, and the other one has actually turned me down a couple of times when I've asked him to consider being a lay pastor. Now, I'm not going to tell you who is who. We're just going to let the tension build and see if you guys can figure that out by the end of the podcast. But I'm going to start by having them introduce themselves, their occupation, and I also want to have them tell us the age and gender of their children, just because I think that'll be relevant considering that we're going to be talking about dating today. So, Mr. Kahn, I'll have you start with yourself.
Sure. I'm Bron Kahn. I teach in the music department at Utah State University. And my wife, Kristen, and I have five kids. Abigail, our oldest girl, is 21. Aubrey, our second oldest girl, is 19, I think. And it's always changing. So, you know, sorry. David is our third oldest. Our boy is 18. And then we have a 16-year-old girl, Sophia, and a 14-year-old son, Joshua.
Awesome. All right, Mr. Pate.
Hi, I'm Michael Pate. I'm a professor at Utah State as well in the Agricultural and Natural Resources College. I've got three girls. The first one's 19, the second one's 16, and the third one is 14.
All right. Well, the topic we're going to discuss today, guys, on the podcast is dating. And if you're joining in today and you saw the title and you thought, oh, great, I'm going to get a straightforward, here's exactly how to handle dating in my home blueprint, you're probably going to be disappointed, because the reality is the Bible doesn't say a lot directly about dating and about courtship. Now, it does have some things to say, but then when you add to that the cultural differences from the things that we see about courtship in the Bible, and then trying to decipher, okay, is that prescriptive? Is that descriptive? It can really leave you scratching your head. The Bible, however, does contain timeless wisdom that we can apply to leading our children through this topic. So I do want to give these guys an opportunity to share kind of where they landed in the whole dating thing, you know, what boundaries did they have. We want to share that with you guys today, but we're not going to be dogmatic about it today. More importantly, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how we brought up the conversations, when we brought up the conversations with our children, how did we handle pushback? So that's really going to be the heart of the conversation today. And I do just want to throw in, I know you guys know me, but I don't talk about my kids a lot on the channel. And so just to catch you up to date, I have four kids. My two oldest are boys. I have a 24-year-old and a 22-year-old. And then I've got an 18-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old daughter. So just as we're talking through this, you kind of know where we all stand. Now, one thing I noticed, guys, and maybe you can speak to this, but I've noticed on the internet in particular, YouTube, things like that, there are a lot of folks who are just like very dogmatic about this. In fact, I remember, maybe you guys remember the guy's name was Joshua Harris. He wrote the book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. He wrote that in 1997, and I remember when this was like everywhere. Any youth event was like, hey, we're going to go through this book, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. And so he took a really hard stand on no dating. He took a hard stand on, you know, don't kiss anyone until you're married. And I'm not even saying I disagree with those things. I think a lot of the stuff he kind of espoused, I would probably say I agree with that. But he just really pushed it really hard. I think he caused a lot of guilt, maybe in some families, definitely caused some division. And then not too long after he made all the rounds and made all that money, he ended up walking away from the faith. He divorced his wife. He said he wished he hadn't espoused any of those teachings. He ended up being pro-choice. I mean, just a lot of stuff changed. So again, guys, how can we, as we get into this, as we kind of tee it up, how can we share wisdom but not be too dogmatic? Or what would you say to the guy who is listening today that's going to take whatever we say and just be really heavy-handed on it? What would be your words of encouragement to him?
Well, I guess our approach has been kind of holding it loosely. I mean, like you mentioned in the beginning, like there wasn't really anything prescriptive biblically that we could really look to. We could only look to our experiences. And so we wanted to make sure that our kids understood what it meant to be pure, to understand their bodies and to understand what God had made them and designed them for. What we wanted to avoid was to try to paint ourselves in a corner and being able to be flexible with our kids, understanding that they're individuals. And one book that I picked up that has at the beginning was about sowing spiritual seeds and understanding how we're helping our kids launch. And I think in the somewhere in the Psalms it says like kids are like arrows in a warrior's quiver, and when we let them go, we don't know where they're going to land. And we understand that our kids were going to have to make a personal decision to follow Jesus and where they stand and how they honor God. And so what we wanted to do was really provide some guiding principles that could help them make decisions in honoring God that they could be proud of. And so we wanted to encourage, and we wanted to provide a safe place to talk to us. And so not wanting to paint ourselves in a corner and being dogmatic, we always had an open conversation at the dinner table, and we had lots of conversations about, you know, dating and what it meant to be married. And they'd ask us questions about our relationships, but, you know, we weren't always like completely honest with how things went. But we said, you know, there are things that we would encourage you not to do, just so that they had that wisdom because of our experiences. And so we wanted to make sure that open, that communication was still open.
Bron, is there anything you would add just as far as warning guys not to maybe be too heavy-handed with what we're going to share?
I would just say, you know, I think I love what Mike was sharing there about kind of the idea of preparing our kids to go out on their own. And you know, we've certainly had conversations about these kind of topics, but in a sense, and we have, you know, ideas and some principles that we've tried to encourage them with, but it's really been kind of more in the context of, as they get into these teenage years, helping them understand that they're entering this transition time from us being responsible for them to them being responsible for themselves, and helping them understand that, you know, even the decisions that they make now in these teenage years have real life consequences. And they kind of set them on a path that will influence them, you know, for the rest of their lives. So, you know, dating and how they approach relationships is a part of that. But we've tried to kind of frame it in the context of that's one aspect of it, but it's really more about like, how are you approaching your life? And what is the direction you want your life to go? And then also ultimately, you know, helping them understand that it is ultimately about their hearts. Like, you know, forced compliance is not really what we want. And yeah, there's some level where you're going to make mistakes, and that's how you learn and grow. And that's part of life. We are going to try as parents to help keep you from making any catastrophic mistakes that, you know, really have far-reaching consequences in your life. But we hope too that you are starting to understand that it makes a difference if you live your life with wisdom. And the direction that you set for your life is going to have consequences, not just on you, but on the people around you. And so to encourage them to be thoughtful about that, and, you know, for us to just be praying that God is working in their hearts and that He is really drawing them to a place of wanting to be surrendered to Him with these things.
So one of the things I'd like to talk about specifically, guys, and especially for the guy out there maybe who his kids are a little younger, and he's trying to figure out, when do I even start to have this conversation? So maybe fill us in on, when did you start having conversations with your kids about dating specifically? You know, if you remember how old they were, what prompted you to start at that age? Why did you pick that? Were there any particular passages of scripture that you brought up in those early conversations? Or maybe were there passages of scripture that, you know, that was the conviction of why you pulled the trigger? And then the other question I have is, when you first started talking about dating, did you also have conversations about purity? So Bron, kind of answer that for us. How old were the kids when you started that? And then maybe along with that, because you have both boys and girls, did you try to keep the same pattern for both?
Sure. I think it's varied a little bit based on the child. You know, and when this stuff has kind of come on their radar and been important to them. And that's, you know, for sure varied amongst our kids, where generally speaking, it's been in the like junior high, early high school years when, you know, girls and boys start to come on their radar. And they're also in a place now where they might be spending time with their friends apart from us. And so there's a little bit more sense of this is a timely issue, and we're not always going to be there to provide more direct oversight. And so we want to help them to be able to make good decisions in this. And I think in terms of scripture passages, you know, like you said, there aren't a ton that really address the idea of dating head on. And in some ways, I think that's a little bit revealing. You know, we're in this culture that has tried to create this kind of space in between friendship and marriage, where you can have some of the benefits of a romantic relationship without the commitment. And so we've talked about how, like, that in and of itself doesn't really seem to be a biblical idea. Mm. You know, I mean, we talk about this verse, but I had to look it up, the reference. It's 1 Timothy 5:2, where he says, treat older women as mothers and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. So there's this idea of your brothers and sisters in Christ until you're married. And even just framing it in the context of some bigger biblical principles, one thing that I've always encouraged the kids with is, you know, until you're married to somebody, that person is somebody else's potential future spouse. And you are somebody else's potential future spouse. So imagine that your potential future wife or husband is out there somewhere, and there's a person that likes them. And you could understand that they're probably a great person, you know, have lots of good qualities, but how would you want them to be treated in that context? And just based on loving your neighbor as yourself, that's how you should treat, you know, this person that you like right now. And so trying to just kind of frame it in context of some more general biblical principles that aren't even necessarily specific to dating per se.
Michael, how about yourself?
Yeah, we kind of started early enough to where we could start to lay the foundation before they had any experience with it. So we wanted to start pretty early. And one of the first things that we did was a thing called Passport to Purity. So it's really been heavily focused on purity, and it had a lot of deal with a variety of peer pressure thing, because around, you know, culture, they're going to see kids going on dances and things like that all the time. And we wanted to make sure that they had a place to ask that kind of questions. We had that conversation before they had those, you know, interests in those of the opposite sex. So it's around age 12. Their mother had that conversation. It's through a program called Family Life. It's called the Passport to Purity. So it was really good. There was a whole workbook, and they did a whole night together. They went and did something fun and stayed in a hotel, did like girly things. I don't know what it was, but just me. I just kept the message that boys were yucky as long as I could. And so that was the overall central message, was about purity. And I had a run with Ron, and he shared that same message with me. And I looked up 1 Thessalonians 4, where it starts to talk about in verse 3 and goes down to 7 about not ever harm or cheat a fellow believer in this matter by violating his wife. So as what Brian was saying, I was trying to tell my kids that you want to make sure that you are, what dating is for, is to investigate the potential marriage of a partner. Because other than that, I mean, that's what the purpose of it was. And that's how we had that conversation.
Mm. Yeah, I do think that we tend to get short-sighted, that if we do something that, you know, is outside of God's boundaries when we're single with someone, and I don't think we ever, rarely do we take into consideration, we're not just harming the individual, we're harming their future spouse. We're taking something from them, like we're stealing from them. So, well, for us, it was pretty similar to what you guys have explained. So for the two boys, my son Caleb was 12, Andrew was 11, and we also did that Passport to Purity. So I went away for the weekend with them, and we listened to the videos, and listened to the teaching on it. And I was behind on Caleb. So you mentioned Braun, you know, it also part of it has to do with just each individual child, because some kids notice girl, you know, so my two boys were really different. You know, Andrew didn't really pay attention to girls until probably his sophomore year in high school. My son Caleb paid attention to girls like in seventh grade. They were so different. So we were a little behind probably on Caleb. And a couple of the verses that are in that, one is Song of Solomon 8:4. says, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, not to awaken love until the time is right." And obviously that verse specifically is written to women, but I think it's just as applicable for our sons that, man, just enjoy being a kid. Mm-hmm. Just enjoy the carefree life of you know, not dealing with conflict in a relationship when your brain's not even fully developed. One of the reasons I was intentional with our boys is I was one of those guys when I was in high school that I had a steady girlfriend almost the whole time. I dated one girl exclusively for a year as a junior, a different girl exclusively for about a year as a senior. And if I had to do it over again, there's no way I would do that. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with, you know, these, I don't want to like minimize it, the emotions are real and you're really not old enough to process some of that. And the other thing that really scared me is you make these commitments, you know, even little kids that write love notes. I mean, so my son, Caleb, I think as early as seventh grade, no, he couldn't drive, so he wasn't dating. And we had talked about you're not dating, but he had this little girl that liked him and he liked her. And we caught some of this interaction in these notes. And he's saying things like, you know, I'll always love you. And I remember sitting him down and saying, Caleb, that's a lie. You're going to be mad at me for saying this, but I'm telling you right now, you're not going to always love this girl. Like there's a good chance in 3 weeks, you guys don't even like each other. And he was super frustrated at me, but I mean, sure enough, 3 or 4 weeks later, they're not even together. And I just didn't want him to like, you know, build this muscle memory of making commitments and making these promises and then not following through. Sorry, I kind of went on a rant there, guys. Two other verses that played a part. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So that was a lot of the conversation I'd have with my kids related to dating is I want you to guard your heart. And then as they got older, 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? You know, I think it's safe to say, guys, we live in an area where our children, if they're pursuing the biblical Jesus, are in a minority. Now, I think anyone in any part of the country could probably say that. Yeah. It's just they may be battling secularism versus another religion like we do here. So that's something that I wanted my kids to think about that because like you said, dating is, you know, part of the purpose of it is to, you know, vet a potential spouse.
Yeah, we are not from Utah originally. We came out of the South. And one of the things that we caught ourselves as a couple has been thinking about this idea of being able to find a spouse here that's a believer. And we would go down that rabbit hole. Like, well, if we move back to somewhere back East, they'll find somebody. But then we just kid ourselves like, we don't know that. I mean, there could be just as much cultural Christians as there are cultural others that believes would profess something else. Yeah.
You know, John, that verse that you mentioned in Song of Psalms, that's also something that I've thought about because that's a refrain, you know, maybe the most consistent refrain throughout that book, you know, and there's a lot to unpack with that book in general. But, you know, one thing that speaks to is the timing of a relationship is important. And, you know, we've talked about it in terms of once you start down that road of a relationship, you never stay in the same place. You're either growing closer or you're going farther apart. And so you have to be really careful about starting down that road because you're going to end up putting yourself in a losing situation, you know. And we've talked about the idea of you really shouldn't date until you're in a place where you're ready to get married because otherwise you're just going to be fighting the whole time to try and pump the brakes on something that's naturally going to want to progress. And we've also talked about it in terms of just another general principle, Hebrews 12, where he talks about no discipline is pleasant when you go through it. It's hard. But if you're trained by it, you will reap a harvest of righteousness and peace. And in some ways, this is one of the early opportunities, especially when you're in a culture, and I've noticed, I feel like the culture that we're in is very much a dating culture. It's you know, our American culture and Western culture is like that in general. Mm-hmm. So that's not that unique. But we've experienced with our kids that it is a challenge for them, especially when they see their friends taking a different approach. And we've just tried to encourage them like, hey, this is not going to be the last time that you have to make a decision to try and follow a biblical principle that is at odds with the culture around you. And so it's okay that it's a little bit challenging and hard. There are promises attached to that as well. And it's good to embrace that. That's part of living life as a Christian. That's not specific even to this realm.
So, Brad, I feel like you maybe showed your hand a little bit there as we lead into our next question, which is, so what was your position on dating? You know, did you just forbid it? Were you like, hey, you can go on dates, but only if there's a group of, you know, students together, like a dance or something at the school, but I don't want you to date one-on-one? If you guys don't mind, just, you know, kind of fill us in. Like, again, we're not trying to be dogmatic, guys. We're not saying that you have to have these exact boundaries, but we just want to give you some wisdom. And you know, one of the things we'll probably do in the next episode is, hey, if you had to do it over again, would you do it the same way? But yeah, Bron, go ahead and fill us in. Like, what were your boundaries? Did they stay the same, you know, the whole time the kids were in your home? Or as kids got older, did you give a little more flexibility? Kind of tell us what that looked like in your home.
Yeah, we've encouraged our kids that we don't think that they should date. And really, you know, what that means is can maybe vary a little bit. You know, our kids have gone to school dances. They go on those kind of dates all the time. So on that, in that way, they are going out with somebody else, but it's generally been somebody that they're friends with and they're going part as a part of a group. So when we say we are encouraging you guys not to date, we're looking at it as like being in an exclusive boyfriend-girlfriend relationship where you're actively pursuing a romantic connection with somebody. And, you know, we've had our, you know, situations where our kids like somebody and that person likes our child. So it's like, obviously you can't control what goes on in somebody's heart and mind. Mm. And so, you know, that's not a hard thing where like, oh, you can't have those feelings for that person. It's like, no, that's, and we've tried to encourage them too. Like, hey, that's supernatural. that's very natural, not as in like miraculous. but it's a natural and a good thing. And it's God-given, and it's a blessing. Like it's a good thing to, you know, have those kind of feelings for somebody. But again, it has a certain place in your life, and you have to be careful really getting too attached and invested at these early stages of your life, because like you kind of referenced earlier, John, odds are this is probably not going to be the person that you end up marrying. And you can, if you're not careful, end up, you know, emotionally and maybe otherwise too, like end up by the time you graduate high school, it's like you've been married and divorced a few times and you kind of have that baggage that you're carrying with you. And I think that's, it's a protection of the kids to not have them be saddled with that, you know, as they enter their adult life.
Yeah. Michael, how about in your home?
Yeah, it's very similar to Bron's. We encourage them not to go on individual dates. We wanted to first, you know, be group stuff. It wasn't everything. We did, the word exclusive was, we wanted to avoid that kind of situation. We looked, one of the things that I told them about dating, we were talking about boys, is like the idea of Ephesians 5 and verse 22, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And I asked them, what do you think about that? So when you're looking at a potential spouse, when you're thinking about this dating, is this very cerebral? One of my kids is very cerebral, and that just like you can see it working in their head. They're like, you know. And
there's no way I'm submitting to that.
They're like, yeah. So that and I was talking to them about this, and they were like, yeah. And it just really means a lot to have a guy that's equally yoked. And we talked about, you know, 1 Corinthians 7 about, you know, a person who is not yoked, that somebody who's not married is more able to devote themselves to the Lord. And that's really, really want to make sure that their relationship first and foremost is with Jesus and with God, and making sure that that's on the right path. So,
well, I'm going to sound a little bit like a broken record here, guys, but ours was pretty similar. So for my two boys, we didn't allow them to go out on any one-on-one dates all the way through high school. I think we got lax on that when they were still living at home after high school. But so any of the dates they went on had to be in a group. In fact, when they went to pick up girls for a dance, they had to go pick up their buddy first and then pick up the girls. You know, we're pretty on it, pretty strict about that. They felt it's funny when I talk to my boys now, they're like, man, you guys were a lot stricter on us than you were on Jordan when my daughter came along. Now we still did the, you can't go out one-on-one on a date with Jordan, but she did. There's a, you know, a young man that they've been, to use our terminology, they've been dating now for like over a year, and they would call it exclusive. And she doesn't listen to the men's podcast, so I'm going to just share. It breaks my heart because he's not a believer. So I'm always worried, is she protecting her heart? But she did go over to his house. Now, his parents had to be there. They couldn't be alone in the room. But I remember just being frustrated that I felt like I just gave in, that I got old, I got tired. My wife wasn't really kind of arm in arm with me on this thing. And like, if I had to do that over again, I would have drawn a harder line of you're not going over to his house. Now, if there are other kids there, you know, if there's a group of you and there's something going on in a party, then yeah, you can go over, but you're not going to go over to his house and, you know, watch movies with him and his mom and dad and have dinner. Or just, I think I would have drawn a different line there. And again, the reason for that is just trying to protect your heart. Yeah, we talked a big game, I guess is the way I would say it. But then by the time my daughter came along, we didn't follow through quite as much. So,
well, I wouldn't beat yourself up too bad. But like, as for in our instance, we have one that has what they kind of went out to college, and then that she was making decisions. We weren't around, and so there was moments where she was seeing an individual kind of exclusive, but then it. And there was moments where she has expressed that, you know, she probably shouldn't have been doing that. And so she was convicted. So she came back around to this idea, and it's a growing process. So the Holy Spirit's working in them.
Yeah. And I do think, I mean, would you guys all say, obviously once they're kind of out of your home, it's a little different as far as how authoritarian you are versus trying to counsel.
Yeah.
Did that change? So you've got a daughter that's, you know, just finished the first year in college, right?
Yeah.
And so how did that change for you?
It's really tough. I just, you know, there are times where it breaks my heart just as much to hear the pain that she's going through, the ideas and the questioning that she has in her own mind about why did I do this, or what is this person thinking, and what is my heart telling me kind of thing. It's just hard to make those, you know, when I mentioned earlier that you're crafting that arrow to be launched and to be sent, and you put the fletchings on it and you send it, and you don't know where it's going to land. And it's scary, but they also have to make that decision on themselves. So.
All right. Well, guys, we're going to call it there for this episode, but we're going to do one more episode on this topic. And in the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about how these guys handled pushback. So, you know, when you had these conversations with your kids and they said, why, Dad, this isn't what everyone else does, or, you know, hey, I'm 17 now, or I'm 18 now, you know, can we revisit this? So we'll talk through that. And again, men that are listening, we don't have it all figured out. So part of what I hope this series does is just encourage you that, yes, you're going to make some mistakes. Yes, you're probably going to step on yourself a little bit in some of these conversations, but that's okay. You know, be bold, be courageous, do it with humility, seek God's counsel, and we hope that you find this helpful.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.